Welcome back. I'm Ian Masters, and this is Background Briefing, available 24/7 at backgroundbriefing.org. And joining us now is Robert Alexander, the chair of the Department of History, Politics and Justice, and a professor of political science at Ohio Northern University. His latest book is Presidential Electors and the Electoral College. Welcome to Background Briefing, Robert Alexander.
Thanks for having me, Ian.
And I sure hope that Donald Trump is doing your sales of your book a lot of good, Robert, because at every opportunity he talks about his glorious Electoral College victory.
Well, I'm actually writing a sequel to the book, and he figures prominently in that sequel. So, yeah, there's a lot on representation issues there. You're right, Donald Trump can't quit the Electoral College. He keeps talking about it, but I'm not exactly sure he knows how it really works.
Well, let's turn to your state of Ohio and this critical governor's race. The reason it's critical is that it's key to the Democrats' chance of remaking the electoral map in 2020 in this important swing state. I find it deeply ironic that the Democratic pick, Richard Cordray, the former head of the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau and a protege of Senator Elizabeth Warren's, he's being challenged by Dennis Kucinich, who ironically was gerrymandered out of office by the Republicans. And the whole point is that if you get a Democratic governor in there and a legislature, then you can reverse the gerrymandering in the state. So do you see that as a bit ironic that the spoiler in this race, Dennis Kucinich, is the one who got done in by gerrymandering?
Well, there's even another layer to that, and that's issue one in the state of Ohio, which actually will look to curb gerrymandering and create a bipartisan system to draw congressional districts. So, and it's showing widespread support. So gerrymandering in the state of Ohio may be on the decline if issue one passes. So, yeah, there's a lot of layers to this particular election here and during the primary.
And on both sides, the Democratic side and the Republican side, it's been bitter, weird, wacky,
yeah,
venomous, deeply dishonest, particularly on the Republican side. The race between the Ohio Attorney General Mike DeWine and Lieutenant Governor Mary Taylor has gotten quite personal. So let's start with that one. Are they going to sort of dirty each other up to the point where they both will lose?
Yeah, I think that they're both trying to out-Trump one another and certainly embracing President Trump, although DeWine and Taylor, neither one of them endorsed Trump during the 2016 election. Taylor has taken some criticism in particular because John Kasich, her boss, her running mate, when she ascended to office, really has been at the top of the never-Trump train, and she pretty much sat silent back in 2016, and now she is really trying to embrace much of Donald Trump's populism. And, you know, she's accused Mike DeWine, who's a pretty establishment politician, but pretty conservative nonetheless, of being tied to Hillary Clinton, which really is not the case here. And, of course, Republicans have been, if they want a boogeyman, Hillary Clinton has been it. And to tie DeWine to Clinton, those will be things that will certainly hurt Republican turnout in a general election, you know, if that's something that they're looking at. And DeWine is also going after Taylor as well as kind of being, you know, pretty fake in the way that she has conducted herself, kind of saying one thing, kind of the straight political thing, saying one thing and doing another. So, yeah, it's been a pretty nasty race. DeWine seems to be on top, but there's still a lot of people that are unsure on the Republican side. In fact, there's 25% in a recent Ohio poll that say that they're not sure who they're going to vote for on the Republican side. Taylor is at 25% herself, and DeWine appears to be in the lead there with a 52% favorable rating from Republicans. So we shall see, but you're right. These things do have a way to play themselves out in the general election as well.
And again, I'm speaking with Robert Alexander, the chair of the Department of History, Politics and Justice, and a professor of political science at Ohio Northern University. His latest book is Presidential Electors and the Electoral College. Well, on the Democratic side, one of the stranger twists is that a big GOP donor paid for ads to attack the Democrat Richard Cordray for being too soft on gun control, even though Kucinich is, is playing up the idea that he got an F from the NRA rating and Cordray got an A. But nevertheless, you got the Republicans making ads attacking the Democrat, Richard Cordray, that are going to help elect Kucinich in the primary. So clearly, at least from that example, the Republicans want to run against Kucinich, not against Cordray.
Yeah, I think Kucinich is the firebrand, and he always has been a firebrand. And so Cordray seems to be the more, for lack of a better term, the more serious politician, the one that I think that Republicans would be a little bit more afraid of. Now, what's interesting about that GOP-led ad for the Democrats is that about a million more Republicans registered back in 2016 in the primaries, and people are wanting to see, what does that mean? Was that really a surge for Donald Trump back in 2016? He fared surprisingly well in Ohio. He actually did much better in Ohio than he did across the country. He had 51% of the vote, 46% across the country. So Ohio really did swing big for Trump. And that's part of the issue here, is that some people look that they wanted to, you know, the Democrat race back in 2016 was pretty much finished. And so there were a lot of, I think, Democrats switching over to vote for John Kasich to do the same kind of thing, to kind of keep the Republican race going. So, you know, Democrats kind of did it in 2016, and now we're seeing some Republicans doing that here in 2018. So, yeah, every trick in the book is being played in this primary. You know, Ohio is a crown jewel in presidential politics, and it's been a pretty purple state, although Republicans have dominated state politics for several generations now. So Cordray seems to be the one to beat for him. You know, he's outpolling Kucinich 31% to 15%. And the other Democrats that are in a race on the Democrat side actually are coming from the Cleveland area and Youngstown area, kind of Trump country Youngstown area. And so that may take even more votes away from Kucinich. So if I were a betting person, and by the way, another 41% of Democrat voters say that they're unsure. So there's, again, a lot of uncertainty. But if I were a betting person, I'd say Rich Cordray is probably going to get the nod here on Tuesday.
Well, of course, Kucinich is the Huffington Post and other outlets have written a number of negative stories about him. Apparently, in his campaign filings, a $20,000 payment by a pro-Assad group showed up, and he spoke at a London peace conference, which was largely stacked and organized by pro-Assad, and at which Assad's government spokespeople also talked. And frankly, it's just inescapably true that Assad is probably the worst mass murderer, certainly of this century. You'd have to go back to Pol Pot, probably, to have somebody that is as blood-stained and evil, and it is hard to understand what Kucinich is up to. And, of course, in Kucinich, he tweeted out praise for Trump's inaugural address, but then he later deleted that tweet. And he was also a commentator on Fox News. And frankly, if you're a liberal commentator on Fox News, you're being used by Fox and by Rupert Murdoch. You're deliberately put on there to make liberals look stupid and weak and pathetic and ridiculous. That's your job. So to that extent, Kucinich has been helping Fox and the Republicans. And he also spoke at the American Conservative Union's CPAC convention. So how's all of... I mean, I could go on this more stuff. Kucinich's ties to the Russian propaganda outlet RT as well. So what happened to Kucinich? Did he? Because he was a very, very highly regarded progressive when he was in Congress, a real champion. So what happened to him since he got forced out of office by Republican gerrymandering that made him run against Marcy Kaptur?
Mm-hmm. You know, I think all the points that you make are certainly in the background, and that might be why we see so much soft support for Kucinich, even though he's kind of seen, you know, as that Bernie Sanders firebrand in this particular contest, is that he does have a lot of baggage, and a lot of baggage that he didn't quite have 10 years ago. And so it's interesting, as bad as Assad's been, probably him praising Donald Trump is probably more of a sin amongst Democrats than anything. And so saying that, you know, Trump's inaugural address was a fantastic, was a great address, you know, a lot of Democrats looked at that address and they just said, you know, they're shaking their heads going, you know, what happened to my country, right? And so Kucinich definitely lost a lot of points there. And the other side of that is that Cordray has really been playing up his ties to Barack Obama. And Obama remains very popular. So, as I mentioned, Hillary Clinton is kind of like the boogeyman. You know, for Democrats, Obama is still seen with a very positive view. And had they had the opportunity, and frankly, had many Americans had the opportunity to vote for Obama for a third term, given the Clinton and Trump candidacies, we could have seen perhaps an Obama third term. So Cordray has that working for him, and he's showing a lot of clips of himself with Barack Obama. So kind of casting that relative to Dennis Kucinich praising Trump, Dennis Kucinich giving a speech that seems a bit misplaced, and only coming up when FEC filings come up and then saying, well, I'll give back the money. That doesn't seem like the people's person. So Kucinich definitely has a pretty difficult road to go here in order to win this nomination.
And is Elizabeth Warren helping Cordray?
I she doesn't hurt. You know, I think that she has some of the same bona fides that that Bernie Sanders has. You know, and having that tie there, and frankly, the job of the Consumer Protection Bureau. You know, kind of being the champion for the little guy, the little gal, the person kind of looking out for people over corporations, and then seeing what the Trump administration has actually done to that office with Mick Mulvaney, basically saying let's try and do nothing, let's get rid of this office, is also kind of seen as a, you know, pretty strong credential for Cordray to have in his back pocket as well. So, you know, it's kind of where words meet action, and Cordray's been there on that front.
Well, I thank you for joining us, Robert Alexander, and filling us in on this. As I say, Tuesday's important race, both in Ohio, Indiana, and in West Virginia. We didn't even touch on that, because a really bad, horrible guy is running as a Republican for the Senate in West Virginia, who's put out the most racist ads against Mitch McConnell, talking about McConnell's China family. Good Lord, you wouldn't think anybody would even use the English in that way. So we'll all stay tuned on Tuesday, and thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me, and happy Sunday to you.
You too. And again, I've been speaking with Robert Alexander, the chair of the Department of History, Politics, and Justice, and a professor of political science at Ohio Northern University. His latest book is Presidential Electors and the Electoral College. This has been Background Briefing. I'm Ian Marston.